You're listening to an encore presentation of Jeff Rentz's Sightings.
Welcome back. Jeff Rentz with Brad Steiger tonight and talking to Terry Robinson during the first half of the program. A little time travel, playing some music, extraordinary music by any measure. Brad, what did you do at Christmas time as a kid? What kind of Christmas carols? Mario's Christmas songs came out in the very early 50s. Were you listening to those at home too?
Most of
America was.
Oh, yeah. What did we do for Christmas carols?
Yeah.
Oh, the classic ones. You know, I'm a mid-American, and we had our Sunday school pageant. And interestingly, though not surprisingly probably, I think I became the official narrator of the Christmas pageant.
Oh, I can see it. You had that magnificent voice even at the age of 12.
At 11 and 12.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised to hear someone, well, it was not at a pleasant situation, a funeral of a much older person from our little hometown, and some of what I considered the big kids when I was in junior high or less who were coming to pay their respects, and I was in the outer lobby in the church and speaking, and they said, oh, we knew that I was there because they recognized my voice. And I thought I had worked hard at cultivating this voice when I was in college. I didn't realize that I must have sounded that way when I was, like you say, 12 years old.
Well, you had it then and you still have it now. Terry Robinson, when you would do recording sessions with Mario, you'd drive him there and he'd look over his music, and for religious songs you said he would stop off at a church.
That's right.
In Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
Come out in an altered state, I guess is what we can term it, can't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How did the orchestra respond to him when he would perform? And this is a recording studio, not a concert stage.
Well, a lot of musicians, let's start off that when he recorded for RCA Victor, at that time it was RCA Victor, not BMG.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And same thing when he recorded at the studio at MGM. He had always had a very big orchestra, anywhere from 30 to 50 musicians, because the voice was so tremendous. They wanted everything he did to sound like a music hall.
Mm.
And they would play for him. Now, these are musicians who played all day at the studios, and now they're working on a night thing, extra money, and they're a little tired. But let me tell you what I experienced. After he finished a song, they would have a playback, and we'd stand listening, conductor, musicians would sit, and when they played back one of Lanza's renditions, he received a standing ovation from the musicians who were now tired. I never experienced that or never heard of any other singer having that kind of an, is the word adulation?
Sure. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's the word.
That's the word.
I never experienced anything like it. They just literally stood up and applauded the man, and they applauded the playback, the voice
Amazing.
On the playback machine.
Let us ask you to describe the recording of, I think, his most magnificent Christmas song, O Holy Night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's unbelievable.
That's...
How can you describe, how can any, you know, I listen to the radio in my car quite a bit, and they play all these Christmas carols. And I sit in my car and I say, what they are missing? I don't understand what's wrong with some of the, you call them disc jockeys, I guess, that they know about Lanza's O Holy Night. It's probably some of the greatest singing ever done in the history of the human voice. And the proof, if you're going to play it.
Yes.
I'd like to tell your listeners, they don't know me. I'm a man that's going to be 85 years old in a few months. And I don't have to say these things. I've lived my life. I've had a Technicolor life. I'm very proud of it. I'm not in the music business. I'm in the health business. I still work at a health club. But when you hear this rendition of O Holy Night, you'll see what I mean, that everybody who plays music should play this piece by Mario Lanza. Just listen with your heart and your soul, as that's the way the boys sang it.
Okay, all right.
This version will put you into an altered state. It is just absolutely ethereal.
Let us hear it. O Holy Night by Mario Lanza.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and sorrow pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. All on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, for night divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
again, Terry, you were there.
Yes. Oh, yes. Fond memories.
After a performance like that, what would he do? Would he talk? Would he just be quiet?
Oh, yes. Well, he sweated a lot, so I always had to change a shirt for him. Because he sweated, he worked. And he gave from his heart. And these sounds came from the top of the man's head. And although he never got headaches and headaches, but he had what was near to a headache. And it was all very spiritual for me to be with this kind of a fellow. It was completely opposite of anything I've ever been with in my life.
Was he a spiritual man, Terry?
Was he a what?
A spiritual man?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a very good parent. Very good father to his four children. And a great worrier about his children. No matter where we went, I went on a Christmas a concert tour with him right after Christmas. We went on a three-month tour across the United States. He had two little girls at that time, Colleen and Lisa. And two or three times a day, he'd call a house in Beverly Hills to see how they were. There was no fooling around. He was a very good, very good. A lot of things were said about the boy. He had some problems. None of us can be perfect 100%.
Working in the Hollywood jungle, Terry, would challenge anyone.
He had his problems, and it took his life when he was only 38 years old, a crime. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even ready. He didn't even have his full voice when he passed away. His type of a singer with that kind of a tenor voice gets better when he's in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what he would have sounded like if he lived through his 40s?
Oh, boy.
Well, we bless what we have, and we have a lot. So that's always going to be our gift from him. And we'll be right back with Brad Steiger and Terry Robinson in just a couple minutes. Glad you're here tonight. It is our Christmas program with Brad and I, of course, holding down the fort here. Brad is in Forest City, Iowa. I'm in Santa Barbara, California. Terry Robinson is in, well, you're right near Hollywood, Terry. And I guess as you look back on all of these amazing days and on going on tour with Mario, you were his stand-in on his films. You were his double
not
for the great...
Not all films, only the great Caruso.
You were the double for the great Caruso, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I worked... Yes. Mr. Mayer didn't want anybody to get too close to him, so he said, Robinson, you're now a stand-in. I said, Mr. Mayer, I'm no stand-in. He said, you are right now. So I became a stand-in.
Why didn't he want anyone...
We had a lot of fun doing it, you know.
Why didn't he want anyone close to him?
Huh?
Why didn't he want anyone close to Lanza?
He wanted to do... It was Mr. Mayer's last big movie before he left the studio and retired.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to bring this picture in. A lot of people at the studio said an opera picture is not going to make any money.
I see.
And Mr. Mayer said, well, we're going to make this. I want to make it. Lanza's a big star. He's got hit records out. Lanza had a thing called Be My Love out now, which
right.
was topping all the charts. Mr. Mayer was right. The great Caruso made a lot of money for Metro, a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, it cost about $2-3 million to make the picture. I think the picture grossed over $40-50 million.
Right, it's incredible.
So
what they would make in those days when they said $1 million movie, you know, that was some sort of high
watermark.
It was an epic.
Sure.
It was a top-grossing movie of 1951.
Oh yeah, broke all records. Up to then, it broke all records at Radio City Music Hall in New York.
Did he ever have stage fright, or was he nervous at all? Like, you know,
no, he was nervous. He used to pace.
Mm-hmm.
On a tour we went, And when he had to go out, face the public, he would pace up and down in the dressing room, and he'd be like a fighter. He had to warm himself up, and then he'd go out, and he'd own the stage when he went out.
How did he relate to the audience? How did he interact
with them? Oh, he loved them. He loved them. He had a charisma. He had a charisma that was unbelievable. Even when we went to parties, when he didn't have to sing. We walked into a room, and everybody, their eyes went towards this kid. But he loved the audience, and he played with the audience. I mean, here was a long hair singer, let's say, and he could take his tie off on a stage and loosen up the button and loosen it up, and they'd go crazy. One time we were in Miami, they opened a new auditorium. We were the first ones there. It was Lanza's concert. And the air conditioning went out, and he looked out from backstage, and everybody was using their programs to fan themselves like a fan. He went out. And he said, you know, he said, it's pretty hot back here. I'm sorry that you're all uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He said, do you mind if I take this tie off? And he took it off and put it on a piano. He's standing out there in tails. He unbuttoned it. He put it on. He said, I'm here with an open collar now. He said, why don't you ladies kick your shoes off and you men loosen your ties? I'm here to sing. We're here to enjoy ourselves.
Oh,
he didn't have to sing that night. All he had to do was stand there and talk to them.
Mm.
He put the audience at ease, and he was very good in doing that, in communicating, and he had a wonderful speaking voice,
mm-hmm.
and you could pick that up when you hear him introduce songs on his records.
Mm-hmm.
He had also, his speaking voice was like a singing voice. The kid had it. He was just born with everything.
On the tour, I don't know how many stops you made over those 3 months. We've got just about a minute until the break, Terry, but what did he do for your birthday? That's a real nice little story.
Oh, well, March 9th was my birthday, and March 8th we were in Ohio. And I said to him, you know, you're always asking for encores, and they yell, Be My Love, and they yell all these songs.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we got a new record out now, and I love it. I love the way, you know, you sang it. It's in the Great Caruso, and the picture was just out at this time also. And it's called Because. I said, tomorrow is my birthday. Could I ask you to sing it for me? He said, okay, if I have time, I'll do it. Well, I had the job on the tour of seeing that his programs got sold. I would hire Boy Scouts in each city we went to. We'd give them 10 cents on every program they sold.
Yeah.
And that was my job. And then I'd bring all the cash back to the hotel room. And like two kids, we would throw the cash on the bed, he and I, and count the cash. That's the only money he saw, because he never saw the money he got for the concert tour. That
well,
all went
on
to the bank.
Hold on right there. We'll come back and finish the birthday story and hear one more selection in just a couple of minutes with Terry Robinson as Brad and I are doing our Christmas program with you all tonight. Glad you're with us, and we'll be right back. Glad you are here. Christmas season, the year 2000, where it is very cold in many parts of the nation. If you are in areas of extreme cold, as Brad said at the beginning, don't take any chances. Stay indoors. Just don't push your luck. And if you have to go out, exercise, obviously, extreme care and caution. Terry, we have one more part of your story to hear, then we're going to play another song, very special song. So you guys would get the money from the programs. At each one of the stops on the tour, you would handle. You'd get the Boy Scouts, give them a 10-cent commission.
Yeah.
And after
on each program, yep.
After the performance, you got to play with the money. Now, why we would think that a man of his talent and a superstar, and he was the first superstar.
Right.
would have tons of money. What is this thing about how...
No. They didn't trust him with money. His money, the cash that I brought up in all my pockets. I mean, I had little bags. I had dollar bills and half a dollars, and I had pockets full of money. I'd get up into the hotel room. We all stayed together at the hotel. He stayed in one room with Betty, his wife. She went on tour with us. I stayed with Konstantin Kalinikos, his conductor and his pianist. And Sam Wallace stayed with the fellow who booked us, Bill Judd, from Columbia Concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And we all stayed. We had a floor. Every hotel would give us a floor. And our rooms connected. And he and I would get alone in a room, and I'd empty my pockets and empty everything. And like two little kids, we'd go through the money. We'd stack up dollars, half dollars. We'd stack up $5 bills. I mean, it was, he screamed, ah, this is my money. This is the money, you know, he didn't have to tell the government about. You know, and he was like a little kid playing the lotto. He just, it made him very happy. Even though he broke all records and the money he earned, he didn't see that money. That went into the bank.
Wow. That innocence, that little kid.
He always was. Mr. Mayer said that one time. When Lonza got in trouble with a fellow named, and I don't want to go into this, so I'm getting a little tired. I've been up early working today. And he got into a little trouble with Dury Sherry, who took over when Mr. Mayer left. Mr. Mayer made a statement. He said, he's the biggest moneymaker we have at the studio. He's a little boy. Let him be a little boy, see? Mm. You know, don't get him into a three-button suit. Don't put him in your image, Mr. Sherry. He's not you.
So Louis B. Mayer tried to intercede on his behalf.
Yes, and then Mr. Mayer stepped down, and that was it.
Well, all right, we have one more song, Terry. I know you're tired, and I really thank you for staying up late. Terry gets up, ladies and gentlemen, at 3
in the morning.
Every day and works out.
Uh-oh, I heard that laugh. I do. I get up
Terry,
at 3 every morning.
That's when I go to bed.
You know what? I meet a lot of people coming home.
I'll bet you do.
Terry works in a magnificent health club in West L.A., Magic Johnson, celebrities, movie star. And Terry works out. He's in better shape, Brad, than I've ever been.
Mm.
He is incredible.
Well, I believe in it.
What's your life?
I've been in it over 60 years, and I'm very proud of it that I'm still... What I'd like to say to some of your seniors that are listening, don't give up working. You keep your dignity longer when you continue to work.
It's absolutely true.
Well, I agree, because I'm one of those seniors now.
And keep working, Brad. Don't ever stop.
I never do. I never do.
Tell me, give me a short setup to the one song that can make a believer out of anybody, and that is, of course, the Lord's Prayer, Terry.
Well, he sang this as a boy. He sang this as a boy in a church, Mary the Magdalene Church in South Philadelphia, when he was just a young boy with Earl Denny's orchestra. He was about 18, 19 years old. The people didn't even know what they had in their little town there, their neighborhood, let's call it. And the interesting thing about the Lord's Prayer, the fellow that put the music to it was from the same area, South Philadelphia, where Mario was born.
Huh.
I think his name was Albert Minot, Hey Minot. I don't have the music sheet in front of me, but I believe that was the gentleman's name. And
Milot.
Mm-hmm. And Mario would sing with the organ or with the orchestra. And he loved the Lord's Prayer because he used to sing that as an encore a lot of times.
Mm. Wow.
And
that would bring
the house down.
An inspirational
song is, you know, and like I said about the man's voice, if you're going to play that now, I don't think your listeners will ever forget it once they hear it. And I remember we were doing a picture he didn't want to do called Because You're Mine, a comedy about a guy gets drafted in the army, and he didn't want to do that. When we came back from tour, they told him, you got to do this movie. They had him under contract. He said, give me a costume picture. Give me something that the public will love. They love the big stuff. Well, they had a comedy for him called Because You're Mine. So he did it under protest. But he did insist that the Lord's Prayer be put into the picture.
Mm.
And now you'll hear the Lord's Prayer the way it was sung for the movie.
Well, we're going to, Jim, can we take our break now? Yeah, let's take our break and come back and then hear this without having to do a break right at the other end of it. So stand by. We'll come back and hear Mario Lanza singing that all-time spiritual, religious, whatever you want to call it, song, the Lord's Prayer. And it doesn't matter what religion you're in, when you hear the sound, the emotion, the heart, it's something, as Terry said, you won't forget. And we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Phenomenal Talk with Jeff Rentz. And now, here's Jeff.
And we are back with you, coast to coast and around the world. I'm Jeff Rentz with Brad Steiger and our special guest, Terry Robinson. Terry, this was the RCA recording. You were there. Big orchestra. How did Mario approach this particular recording? Same thing. Did he stop by the church?
One take. One thing about Lanza, he was called One Take Lanza. He would let the orchestra rehearse, and we'd go out, and he'd stand up, and he would hum, and they would be rehearsing, and he would hum. And he didn't sing full voice. Then he'd say, let's go. Let's do it in one take, fellas. We got to do 3 or 4, 5 or 6 songs tonight. And he was called One Take Lanza.
Interesting.
That's how musical he was. And he had a, by the way, he was, had a photographic mind. He'd look at something, he'd know everybody's part. He was uncanny that way. And he also could speak languages. He could sing in any language.
Well, I've heard him sing in French and Latin
Spanish.
And Spanish.
Granada in Spanish.
Yeah, magnificent. Truly amazing.
Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to play the Lord's Prayer?
We are ready, and let us hear it now.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver.
Terry?
Sir.
After that, I can't imagine what that room must have been like.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, one of the greatest compliments ever paid Mario Lanza was paid him by Jerry Lewis, a clown. Mm-hmm. Would you believe that? Lewis, Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin, in their time, were probably the greatest comedy act, the greatest duo of their time as a comedy team.
Mm-hmm.
And one night, Mario worked at the Hollywood Bowl. We left the bowl, and he wanted to relax, and he said to me, make reservations for us, and we'll go to Ciro's. Let's hear Martin and Lewis. I said, we'll never get in. He said, call Herman Hoover and see if they got a spot for us. Herman Hoover was the man that ran Ciro's. I called him up, and I said, we're 10 people. He said, I'll fit you all in. Don't worry about it. Get Lanza here. Well, we went up, and sure enough, they roped off table for 10 of us. I don't know if you remember Carmen Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
She was with our group, Mario Lanza's mother, father, Betty, myself. And we all sat at a table. And when Lewis and Martin Lewis heard Lanza was in the audience, this was after we did the Hollywood Bowl, Jerry Lewis stopped the show and he said, come on, we got an Italian singer here. I got one in the back. His name is Dean Martin. We got a guy here named Mario Lanza. Well, the crowd, this is a nightclub, applauded. And Mario went up on a stage, and we had with us the old man, Giacomo Spadoni, who in his day worked the choral groups with Enrico Caruso. He was Mario's opera coach at MGM. Spadoni sat at the piano. Mario sang one song in the middle of this nightclub, Vesti la Giubba. When Mario finished that, the place went crazy. They went wild in this little nightclub. That voice, I mean, Jerry Lewis stepped up to the mic and he said, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show is over. Dean Martin and I are not going to follow that. And they walked off the stage.
Wow.
They walked off the stage. I never heard anything like that.
Mm.
Here's an interesting note on that, Terry. I think you know this, but my grandfather, who had married into the family before I was born, was the chef at Ciro's that very night.
You're kidding.
And
really?
told me that story.
I'll be done.
He said, I remember talking to him, and I asked him at one point, I was in college, he was very old, I said, did you know Mario Lanza? And he just said, oh, my God, what a beautiful man. And his eyes went somewhere else. He was taken back. Mm-hmm. I guess when you heard him, Terry, it just changed you in a way.
Well, it was a new life for me. I had never been in that part of, I've always been the physical ed. I've been an athlete, phys ed teacher, and then a chiropractor. So my life was in the healing arts now. When I met Lanza, I had a bit of that show business. So, you know, it was another phase, another thing in my life that was very interesting.
And people who heard him sing,
another
Terry,
aspect of the healing arts, right?
That's right.
The people that heard him sing, Terry, were never able to. They were changed, weren't they, when they heard that voice?
See,
that's the point.
Music is called the universal language. Lanza's voice has brought people together from all over the world. He has gone now over 40 years, yet his fan clubs are still going on. People come from all. Recently, we had about 60 people come from Europe to California to visit where he's buried, to visit the spots he went to visit the studios where he worked. And I spoke to them, and Catherine Grayson, his co-star, spoke to them. Lanza's daughter Lisa was there to meet them and greet them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this goes on. And this is a true legend, because they're honoring this man's voice and the man is probably in our mind still alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is a classical voice. And the way I feel at my old age now, I hope the next generation of kids will pick up his records. They'll see his movies on TV. His films still are on TV. But they should get his records, his albums, and have the music in their homes.
Right. Well,
the most amazing part of it all, Terry, is that what we just heard, the Lord's Prayer, was recorded nearly 50 years ago, and the magnificence of that voice, which couldn't be completely captured with the recording technology of that time, is still so
That's
overwhelming.
Right. No one did it before, and no one's going to do it after.
Wow. Terry, I want you to go get some rest, and I really want to thank you.
I'm getting a little tired.
Merry Christmas, Terry.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Brad. Merry Christmas to you, Jeff, and to all your listeners.
Thanks, Terry. And thanks for being with us.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
There's a beautiful expression I'd like to leave to all your listeners. Come grow old with me. The best is yet to be. And have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
Thanks, Terry.
Take care.
Good night, Terry. He's 85 years old, Brad.
Uh-huh. Great, great.
I'm just trying to remember what my grandfather said about that night. He was sort of awestruck when I mentioned it.
But he was the chef there.
He was the chef for about 8 years at Ciro's, which was, one of the great legendary places.
Sure, one of the inn places at that time.
He used to eat, there's a delicatessen called Louis Bernardi's. I remember the name. And he said Mario and he used to go there and they would have bread and cheese and salami and talk and drink wine. And just, he said he was an incredible, wonderful, giving human being. Well, you hear it.
Yes.
You hear it in the voice.
Yes.
There was something about that sound that he made. It was not a forced, muscular sound. It flowed almost from somewhere else.
And yet his appeal in his early films, he was a very muscular young man, and there was something about that voice with his muscles that, it's kind of like seeing Hercules sing.
It was irresistible to the ladies, as is well known. That's hour number two already, and we'll come back, and Brad and I will spend hour number three with you in our Christmas program. If you'd like to call in, share a Christmas story, a thought or two, you're welcome to 1-800-876-4123 is our number here. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you are here. Don't forget to stop by the website during the holidays and take a look-see. That's Rentz.com, R-E-N-S-E.com. There for you 24 hours a day. And we shall continue right after this.